You're listening to the Life in Deep Ellum podcast, exploring the sacred in art, faith, and community. Enjoy this sermon from Rachel Triska.
Hey, this is Andrew Barnes.
And Sarah Barnes.
We are the Barnes. We miss you guys.
Missing everybody.
Hi, everyone. It's Heather and Miles and Walter and Justin. And we miss Life in Deep Ellum. Hope you're all well.
Hey, Life in Deep Ellum. It's Courtney.
And Michael.
Cleveland. Really wish you were here. I don't know. We stuck down to Disney like a bunch of bozos. Love you. Miss you so much.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, friends.
This is Preston.
And Jackie.
We just wanted to say hello, and we miss everyone. Hope you're all staying safe and taking care of yourself. We're praying for everybody.
We really do miss you.
Hi, everyone. I'm Wendy.
I'm Hank.
And we're the Habics. We sure do miss you.
We can't wait to see you.
Hi, everyone. This is the Mars Rose.
We miss you.
Mallory.
And Bonnie.
And Benny. The Piles family.
We miss you, Life in Deep Ellum.
We miss you. Say something. Say miss you.
Miss you.
Love you.
Hey, everyone. It's Chrissy Soto. And I just wanted to say that I miss my Lied family very much. And I cannot wait for us to come and worship and fellowship together again.
I have loved the last 2 weeks getting to see so many of your beautiful faces and the greetings. I hope that we can keep those coming to you and continue to involve our community members and liturgies. So if you would be interested in participating and seeing your face on the screen, please let us know. We'd love to hear from you. Okay, if I ask you the question, getting into the sermon now, if I ask you the question, are we all different? How would you respond? If you're viewing this via the watch party, you can go ahead and just let me know right there in the comment box. How would you answer the question, are we all different? Now me, gut level response, are we all different? Yes. Yeah, we're all different. I mean, just take our physical appearances. We know two people are alike. We all have different thumbprints and different irises, and there's just this infinite difference, well, infinite amount of creativity, and so we all show up very different. So there's like that surface level difference. And then talk about life experiences. We all have a different experience of life. You have lived experiences that I do not have. And even if we do share certain life experiences, we're going to have a different perspective on those experiences. You're going to have different thoughts, feelings, emotions, memories, even a point of view that would be different, even if we're sharing the exact same experience. So are we all different? Yeah. Friends, a quick Google search complicates that answer to the question, are we all different? It complicates my gut level response because whenever you Google the question, are all humans different? One of the things that comes up is another question. Are humans 99.9% the same? And the answer, according to the National Genome Research Project, Genome Institute, is yes. We are all of us humans are 99.9% the same. The same, not different, 99.9% the same genetically. So for me, that was a little exciting because I was like, man, basically everybody in the world is my twin. And I like that. You're my twin. You're my twin. You're my twin. Also, pretty amazing when you think about this 99.9% difference, is that 0.1% of our genome accounts for all of the differences we see in humanity. Oh my goodness! God only needed 0.1% of the human genome to be infinitely creative. He's real good. That just blows my mind. Today we're continuing in our series, A Revolution of Gratitude. And our topic for today is everyone's blessings are different. And as we talk about this idea that everyone's blessings are different, I want you to hold on to this reality that physiologically, you have 99.9% of your genome in common with every other human being on this planet. Because I think there is a parallel between what we experience physiologically and what the nature of blessing actually is. So hold on to that as we continue today. This morning, I want to start by talking about what I have termed the 99.9% principle of blessings. And to do that, let's turn to Matthew 5. I cheated and already have it open. So Matthew 5, and I'm going to start reading in verse 43. And this is Jesus teaching, Sermon on the Mount, most famous of Jesus' sermons. And he says this, "You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Moral of Jesus' teaching, according to Rachel today. God blesses everyone. He causes the sun to rise on the righteous and the unrighteous. He causes the rain to come for those who are good and those who are evil. That's basically all of us, friends. There are some blessings that God gives to absolutely everybody. So, I'm human, you're human. I live on earth, you live on earth. I'm alive, you're alive. I carry in me the image of the infinite God, you carry in you the image of the infinite God. We got some things in common, friends. 99.9%. Turn with me to Genesis 1, and I want to read just two verses to you this morning, this day, this evening, whenever you're watching this. Genesis 1, and I want to start reading in verse 27. It says, "So God created mankind in his own image, and the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the whole earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." And so what happens? God puts his image in us, male and female, equally image bearers. And then immediately following, verse 28 says, God blesses them. God bless them. And that process of creation and blessing, created and blessed, has been going on and on and on. And it continues with me and you. It continues in us. I'm alive, you're alive. I'm human, you're human. You live on this earth, I live on this earth. You are the image of God, I am the image of God. 99.9% of all of our blessings flow from this shared origin and shared existence. That's pretty cool, friends. But like our physiology, we forget how much we actually have in common with one another, and we tend to look at the appearance of things and think, oh my gosh, we are so different. Because that 0.1% accounts for a lot of the apparent differences that we have between one another. And so I want to transition to talk about what I am calling the 0.1% principle of comparison. Because that 0.1% difference can lead to a lot of comparison. I remember this coming up for me for the first time when I was just 7 years old. I was in a dressing room, school clothes shopping, looking for jeans with my mom and my aunt and my cousins. And I vividly recall how I felt when I was in that dressing room, just 7 years old, and the feeling that I remember to this day is shame. I was ashamed because I did not wear a size 7 slim. And my cousin did. Oh, my goodness. I look back at that little Rachel and my heart just breaks for her. Because by the age of 7, I was already integrating this lie that by comparing myself to others, I would know what my value was. I was already integrating the lie that if I was just thinner, then somehow that would make me more valuable. If I was just more like this other person, that I would be of greater worth. Oh, guys. And we all have those moments. Those moments where we look and we know that comparison trap was at work, and it started for a lot of us very early in life. And that's how the 0.1% principle of comparison works. It says to us, look at how different you are from those around you. Measure yourself against others. See what you lack. 99.9% of who we are is the same. We are basically twins, genome twins. And what we attend to is the 0.1% difference between us. That's what we attend to, the 0.1% difference between us. And that 0.1% difference, it can make us feel like we are not enough. And that is just not good math. 99.9% the same. And somehow this tiny infinitesimal 0.1% can convince us that we are not enough. Really bad math. I want us to go back to Genesis. You can turn there if you want to, but I'm just going to tell you the story from Genesis 3. You know this story, most of you probably. The serpent comes to Eve, and essentially this crafty, deceitful serpent. Got to make sure you understand the character of the serpent. This crafty serpent comes to Eve and whispers in her ear, look what you lack. You are not like God. The image of God in you is not enough. See what you are lacking and look out there somewhere for that something greater that you need. And Eve fell into that comparison trap. And Adam swiftly followed her. And then they were cast out of Eden. And the spiritual teacher, John Philip Newell, suggests that Eden is a metaphor for our true selves. That authentic image of God that is at the very core of all of us. And he says Eden is a metaphor for that because whenever we begin to listen to the serpent, who's telling us we are not enough, and we start on this journey that makes us a fugitive from our true selves, and we start looking for that thing out there that's going to make us enough, and we lose contact with the image of God in us, that's when we are casting ourselves out of Eden. That is the exile. He writes this in his book, Echoes of the Soul. The Genesis account of humanity expelled from the garden and wandering the earth is continually repeated in the human story. It also reflects what happens in our own individual lives. We become fugitives from the wisdom that has been planted deep within us. We see this clearly in the story of Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel both make sacrifices to the Lord. Abel brought his first fruits of his flock. Yeah, he was a shepherd. And then Cain brought this other, and Cain didn't feel like he measured up. He was comparing himself to his brother, and he didn't feel like the Lord received his sacrifice with favor. And the passage tells us that the Lord said to Cain, hey, if you just do what's right, you'll be acceptable. The idea was like acceptability is not a point of that like 0.1% difference. Like, God accepts us. But Cain missed that message. And it disturbed him so much, that comparison trap, he got so caught in it, he killed his brother. Noel writes in that same chapter about Cain. He said his outward wandering, because Cain became this fugitive who was never able to rest, according to Genesis. And Newell writes, his outward wandering is merely a reflection of the inner exile that had already occurred. And at the age of 7, I had already begun wandering from my true self, already comparing myself to others and finding my value wanting. And friends, we all know that comparison way too well, that comparison trap that cuts us off. And the reality is that trying to eradicate that 0.1% difference between ourselves and others is never going to be the pathway to peace. Never. Now, I want to take a little pause here and do a qualifier. Just in terms of, like, what is a blessing and what is not a blessing? And the thing that I want you to hear me say is that benefits are not blessings. Benefits are not blessings. And I want to be even more clear and specific and say that justice is not one of those things that goes in, like, the 0.1% difference blessing between us and other people. You may have heard some number of months ago that Lou Giglio decided to try to make the idea of white privilege more palpable by calling it white blessing. Oh, my goodness, friends. It was so painful. As a friend sent me that video and I watched it unfold and I was like, you have got to be kidding me. I mean, 400 years of white people oppressing other people who have within them the image of God. Us dehumanizing others and ourselves and us being oppressors and perpetrators of terror and violence. And that is not a blessing. No. Injustice, inequity, it always costs us. No matter how much some benefit is offered to a particular group of people, when it is at the expense of others, it is never a blessing. Injustice always cuts us off from the image of God in us. And that's why Jesus would say things like, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the people who insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. From our perspective, being poor in anything is not a blessing. It's not a benefit. We don't think of having a reason to mourn as a benefit. Being hungry and thirsty, being insulted, persecuted, slandered. Anyone signing up for that part of your company's benefit package? No, we don't want those kind of benefits. But Jesus calls them blessings. Why? Well, friends, blessings, like real for real blessings, draw us closer to the heart of God. Blessings, they are our teachers and they are our guides back into Eden, back into our true selves, back into the image of God in us. Blessings are those things that teach us about the kingdom of heaven and help us live into that kingdom and to align ourselves, attune ourselves to the values of the kingdom of heaven rather than the values and value system of this world. Blessings are not always easy. Blessings are not always easy. So, keep in mind, benefits are not necessarily blessings. I want to come back to this idea for this particular week of our series. Everyone's blessings are different. And so now I want to talk about the 0.1% principle of blessings. Because this is what I know, friends. If we don't get caught in that comparison trap, then we get to enjoy. Just feel so much gratitude for the way that God takes that 0.1% of difference between us and every other human being in the world and is infinitely creative with it. And we do this already with nature. I was listening to someone, I can't remember her name right now, but she was talking about how in nature, we appreciate diversity. I mean, you will never hear anybody say, we only need one type of flower. The whole world would be more beautiful if there was just one type of flower, one type of tree. My therapist said to me recently, Rachel, we don't look at the stars and think, oh man, if that star looked more like that star, the sky would be more beautiful. We don't do that because we get it. There's something that we just naturally tune into with nature that we appreciate how beautiful the diversity of the created order is. And I'm pretty sure that's how God looks at humanity. There is this tiny differences in us that adds up to a whole lot more beauty than if we were all the same. So we can learn to celebrate and feel gratitude for rather than comparing ourselves to one another. I would love, 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 love to be able to sing like Alyssa or Liz or Carrie Norwood. But that's a 1% difference between me and them. So I have a choice. I can either allow myself to be really sad about the fact that my voice is just not as beautiful as theirs. And I can tell myself that I should probably just sing really quietly or maybe not even sing at all during worship services or in times of celebration because I just don't have their voice. Or I can feel a whole lot of gratitude for the fact that those folks can sing. And I could be so grateful for all of the musicians and instrumentalists that we have in our community and the noise that they can make. And I can join my noise with their noise and it will be beautiful. Because whenever I sing with others, when we sing together, gratitude can fill our hearts for that. I would love to be able to make visual art the way that Justin and Kelly Clemens can. Beautiful, beautiful art. That's what they make, not me. And so I could compare the creativity that I have as a speaker to the creativity that they have as a visual artist. And I could feel really sad that there's a strong reality that you will not hold on to my words the way that you would hold on to their art were they to give you a piece of it. Or I can see the creativity of God bursting out of the Clemens, and my heart can be full of gratitude because God does that with people. And it doesn't need to be me. I would love, love to be able to speak another language, specifically Spanish, like Christy and Arnolfo and Beto. But that's a 0.1% difference between me and them. It's not something that I've been blessed with. And so I can either feel inferior and try to deal with my monolingualness by becoming ethnocentric and developing an attitude that English is God's language, or I can feel gratitude that God's heart language is unbounded, that God speaks every human language. I mean, I just feel the joy rising in my heart, the gratitude rising in my heart as I think about that, that when I hear people speaking other languages that I do not understand, God understands it. And that is beautiful and exciting and reminds me just how great our infinite God is. I would love to have skin that is not so easily splotched by the sun. I'd love that. And I could measure my carefully covered sun-spotted, sun-splotched face against other women's who have beautiful, clear black skin, or beautiful, clear brown skin, or beautiful, clear white skin. And I could feel sad. And I could feel embarrassed that if you caught me without makeup on, you would see all these little brown spots on my face that the world might tell me are blemishes. Or when I look at my face, uncovered, I can see stories. Places where the sun that God allows to shine on the good and the evil has kissed me. Has kissed me. Friends, my face is a virtual altar. Like, if I think about it, most of the sunspots I have on my cheeks, it's when I was young and in my 20s and didn't wear hats yet when I went outside. So I look at those and I'm like, those are from the marathon and the half marathons that I ran. And then as I look further down my face, I'm like, well, you know, I think I got that one whenever I was walking the Camino. And then I look at ones that are down that I've gotten, like, there's one specific one that showed up during quarantine. But friends, like, that tells me the story of the almost 1,000 miles I have walked since we started this crazy COVID journey, and most of them at White Rock Lake. And so I look at my face and I can think, I get sunspots. Or I can think, I get to get sunspots. And maybe I didn't sell you on sunspots because I have still tried to sell myself on them some days. But still, I can, as I'm reconciling myself to them, feel gratitude for the stories and the memories that they call up for me. Comparison, it's not worth our time. There is so much to look out in the created human order and feel gratitude for what God has done and who God has made. I want to close today with a little bit of math. So 99.9% plus 0.1% equals 100%. You guys are so good. I know you all got that. 99.9% plus 0.1% equals 100%. Hold on to that for a minute, because I want to take you back to Matthew 5 and remind you of a verse that we read earlier. God causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. God's perfect love means he has blessed us all equally. And the same way that physiologically our 99.9% sameness added to our 0.1% difference equals 100% human, on the blessing sides of things, our 99.9% blessing sameness, that's just because of our origin and existence, added to the 0.1% difference, still equals 100% blessed. We are 100% created, 100% blessed. Now, the logical question that follows, the question that I wrestled with yesterday as I was walking around White Rock Lake, like I do all the time now, was this: is everything a blessing? And I really sat with, well, walked with that question and turned it over and over, because the answer was something I was struggling with, in the sense of I'm learning that so many of the things that I would not have counted a blessing in my life, I experience blessings from. And so this is how I would answer the question, is everything a blessing? I would say no. Not everything is a blessing, but what we do with anything can become a blessing. I think that's the beauty of having this infinitely creative God who can take a 1% difference and create all of humanity. There are terrible things that happen in this world. And somehow God can still redeem them. Somehow in the midst of them, we can still experience God's goodness and his love for us. And I think that's why Jesus could say, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for they will see God. Or maybe it was they would have the kingdom of heaven. Jesus got it. Creation and blessing. So, one final reality. 100% of us, 100% of us will hear the serpent whispering in our ear at some point, sometimes daily. The serpent whispering, hey, look, look out there, see what you lack, compare yourself to others. Don't you wish you were more fill in the blank? And what I hope this today has encouraged you to do is to just not listen to that crafty, deceitful serpent. To be able to look at that crafty, deceitful serpent and say, shut it up. I am 100% created and 100% blessed. 100% created. 100% blessed, not listening to any lying, deceiving serpent. It's been 30 years since I was in that dressing room, ashamed for not being a size 7 slim. And that little Rachel is still inside of me, afraid that if I'm not attractive enough according to the serpent standards, then the people I most want to love me won't. That's just honest, guys. Like, that is a struggle I live with on a regular basis. And I'm learning to say to that serpent, shut it up. I am 100% created. I am 100% blessed. And I don't have to be perfect. Being 100% created and 100% blessed does not equal perfect. It equals you. And you are enough. And friends, maybe body image isn't the wound that you got. I have plenty of others I could talk about, but that's one that's real for me that I'm working on right now. But maybe for you, it's a wound around financial security, or a wound around mental health, or a wound around your relationships or friendships or family or vocation, meaning in life. I don't know what your wound is. But whenever you feel tempted to compare, I want you to recognize that is a crafty, deceitful serpent whispering in your ear. Not worth listening to. And you can look at it. And you can come up with your own little phrase to shut it up. But shut it up. And allow gratitude to rise in you for the 99.9% that's the same and the 0.1% that is different. And instead of comparing, celebrate those differences. Because everyone's blessings are different. And at least that 0.1%. And so, friends, I just want you to feel as blessed and loved today as you truly are. And something that we all have to do is eat. And so we have been trying to work back in our community liturgies. And since we all have to eat, 100% of us have to do this, we wanted to take communion together today. So if you don't already have your elements, you can go grab your elements and we will get started with communion in just a few moments. So I want to read to you guys from 1 Corinthians 11. And it says, "For I received from the Lord Jesus what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" As we take the bread this morning, I would invite you to consider that your genome is 99.9% the same as Jesus's. And as you take his body into yours, celebrate. Celebrate the beauty that the 0.1% of difference in who Jesus was brought into this world. Now, granted, he was also fully God. I get that. I know that. But today, I want you to feel the solidarity, the acceptance of your humanity via Christ. So, take the bread with me this morning, or the donut, or whatever you had lying around the house. Prayer is that you'll remember Jesus's body is for you. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat the bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And so I invite you to take your cup this morning. And in here, I would say, be grateful. Allow gratitude to rise in your heart for all the blessings that God has given you, same and different from others, and the blessing that we share of a Savior who loved us so much that he came into this world and died for us, showing just how far he would go to demonstrate his love. And so will you drink with me? Lord, thank you for your body and for your blood. Thank you for a meal, a common meal that you made sacred. I thank you for a common body that is made sacred by your divine presence. May we recognize just how created and how blessed we are by you. And I pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people say, amen. I love you, friends. Thank you so much for being at the digital gathering with us this week. And next week, we're going to keep going with the revolution of gratitude. So we will see you then. If we don't see you before, Mocha, come see us. Love you guys.